So please join me as we pray. Heavenly Father, all good and perfect gifts come from you. And God, from our sufficiency, we give back into your kingdom. Lord, we dedicate this money, and not only that, but our time and our prayer, but also our lives to you. May you use it for your furtherance and extension, the extension of your will in this place. God, help us to be joyful and generous as we seek out those who need help, especially those in the city. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thanks, Roscoe. Yeah, so good morning again. And if you don't know, I'm Brandon. I'm one of the English pastors here along with Tim. And I want to say this too about Roscoe as he leaves. Roscoe's been on the elders board for 2 years, and him and Dong are leaving the elders board now after serving 2 years. So thank you guys so much for serving on the elders board. I appreciate you guys a lot. So we are entering this season of waiting known as Advent. Advent, a time of waiting on the Christ child, but also waiting on his return yet again, and that's what it is. Well, I'm not sure about you, but over COVID, we spent a ton of time in our houses, and as you looked around your house, as you sat on your couch at your kitchen table, you're like, man, I'd really like to change these cupboards, right? Or these floors need redone, right? Or there's something else. You looked at your house and you're like, I just need to change this a little bit. So instead of doing that, we just sat down at our couch again and we turned on, you know, like Home Makeover Show or like Chip and Joanna Gaines. They're awesome. And, you know, or Property Brothers, they're handsome. Or, you know, the whatever, Love It or List It. What a perfect example of how we feel at times about home. Right? Home. How do I make this house a home? Because that's the marketing for each of these shows. The goal for them is to turn a house into a home. I think that's really intriguing. I think intrinsically, each of us have a sense of home within our souls, within our being. We long to be at some moment home. Maybe that's a place on this earth, or maybe it's not. And I find that intriguing then and significant that at the beginning of the Gospel of John, we have this phrase in verse 19 that says, or verse 14, that says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. And made his dwelling among us. Dwell. Dwell. I want to focus in on that word as we look at the Advent candle of hope here today. The hope that God would dwell, that he would make his home. This is what the word means, okay, to make his home among us. To make his home among us. He dwelt. So today what we're going to do is we're going to look at that word. We're going to canvas scripture today, basically from front to back, looking at that word dwell. What does it mean that he dwells among us? Well, at the beginning, we have these people of Adam and Eve, and they were in this place called the Garden of Eden, right? And it was a place where God dwelt with them, and he would walk with them in the cool of the day, and they had this pure fellowship together. Pretty amazing, isn't it? This making of a home that God had, but then they sinned, and they were out of a home. They were kicked out of that perfect home with God, and so we, as well, are without a home in that sense. That home that was with God and man together, the dwelling place of God, was now broken. We were out of a home, but God wasn't settled there, so he would do these visits throughout the Old Testament. There were visits with Abraham and the patriarchs. He would show up every now and then in different ways. Most times it was pretty miraculous the way he would show up. Sometimes they didn't even know it was him. Maybe until after. Sin kept Israel and God apart for a long time, except for these visits. And then this era of Moses came. Do you remember Moses, or have you heard of Moses before? You may have heard of the Egypt and the 10 plagues, and God helped Moses take the Israelites out of slavery. And once they were out of slavery and wandering in this wilderness, God had a plan to say, I want to dwell with you again. I want to dwell with you again. So God begins to make a home. God begins to make a home with man. Because he wasn't satisfied with these visits. That's not how we were created. We were created to dwell together with God. So God made a covenant, which is like a promise, and they sealed it over animal blood, which is really weird for us to think about today, maybe. But it was a blood-binding deal or relationship with Moses, the Israelites, and God. Not that he would just visit, but now that he would dwell among them. Make his home. Or in other words, you may have known this term, they created a tabernacle. And the word there is that he would tabernacle with the people. And I love that. If you know of the tabernacle, that's great. If not, it doesn't matter today. In Exodus 25, in verse 8, well, verse 1 and 2, it says, God told them to bring all the offerings you can that you had placed on your heart. I love that. And then he says, then have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. Have them make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them. That's why we call this, if you come to church here on a regular basis, we call this a sanctuary, that God would dwell with us as we gather. So this was God's call to them, that he's like, I don't just want to visit one or two of you, I want to dwell and make my home with you. How beautiful is that? In the midst of all of this, Moses had a conversation with God, many of them. But one of them was this. It's like Moses said, I want all your glory to pass by me. Do some of you remember that story of Moses? He told God, I want all your glory to go by me. And God's like, well, no one can do that and live. So maybe take that request back. But what I'll do is you hide over here and I'll go by you and I'll let all my goodness pass by you. Do you remember that? I'll let all my goodness pass by. And so God does, but he shields Moses' eyes. He goes by him and then releases his hand so that he can see his back. And of course, it blows Moses away, just seeing his back. But in the midst of asking for that, I love Moses' statement question that he gives as he's asking. In 33 verse 16, I don't think I have this on the screen, but it's this. What else will distinguish me and your people from all other people on the face of the earth? This is great. I'm going to read that question one more time. What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people from the face of the earth? There's nothing else besides God's presence that distinguished the Israelites from anybody else. Moses says that nothing else matters. Like, we'd be like every other kingdom. It doesn't matter. If you're not with us, if your presence isn't here, if your glory is not present, what are we even doing here? And God, I think, smiled at that question because then he let his goodness go by him. And he gave instructions. Instructions in such detail, if you read through this passage in Exodus, in such detail on how to construct this tabernacle and what materials to use, even the condition of your heart even matters. And so they built it. This thing called the ark, right? There's the ark where there's these cherubim and they that's where the presence of God would dwell. They put this thing in a place called the Holy of Holies. The most holy place was around that. And so there's these layers of holiness around the presence of God because of that relationship that was broken before from Adam and Eve. And now there was this way, now a method that God could dwell in some way with his people yet again. He made a way to the point where then his glory filled that tabernacle and smoke began to fill that place. And they were guided then by God's presence, that question statement that Moses had. How will we be distinguished? And so God distinguished them. That whenever that cloud, that pillar of smoke would lift and go, they would go. And wherever it stopped, they would stop. Or if it was by fire at night, this pillar of fire. Can you imagine? Wouldn't that be awesome if it was that easy in life? Like, wouldn't that be awesome if that was how he could guide us? It's like, okay, I'm gonna live in this house until he lifts the smoke, and then I'll go to the next one, right? Or I'm gonna stay at work today until God says, I know it's time to go. God, lead me. And he led the Israelites in that way. He tabernacled or dwelt among them. Well, he did this again, a second time, because the tabernacle was transported around as they moved. But then when they became a nation in one spot and one time, David said, we need to build a temple from the Lord. So David's son Solomon does this exact thing. He builds this temple in all its glory, that it's the glory of the entire known world at the time, that people would come from everywhere to see this temple in all its glory. But when it was done being built, it says the glory of the Lord filled this temple. In another spot, it says that the priests couldn't even do their work anymore because the glory of the Lord was so heavy. His presence began to dwell in this space. And then Solomon and God have a conversation. That's where I want to pick up on this story here. Solomon said, the Lord has said that he would dwell in a dark cloud. I have indeed built a magnificent temple for you, a place for you to, there's the word, dwell forever. A place for you to dwell forever. So here he is, dwelling with man. God responds to Solomon. And I love his response. It's fairly lengthy, but here's just one phrase. One phrase, he says this. He says, my eyes and my heart will always be there. This is very specific, isn't it? He doesn't just say, I will dwell or I will tabernacle, but he actually uses these imagery of his eyes and his heart. And that captured me as I read that for the first time. What does this mean? Well, Solomon actually asked God that his eyes would always be here with the Israelites. His eyes, that he'd always be looking out for them, that his favor would be on them. Right? That's what eyes are. Kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Well, God takes it up a notch. He says, not only my eyes, but my heart as well. My affection will be for you. I love that. He is not just dwelling to be present, but to be lovingly present. Symbols of favor and presence and heart. God was with his people yet again. But it still had limits, didn't it? Very specific, and actually you could only go into the Holy of Holies a certain time of year, and you had to be a certain amount of clean and a certain right person to go in. Otherwise, you could be in one of the outer courts and get close to God. And if you were an Israelite, you would, no matter where you were, you would turn towards the temple and pray, because that's where God's presence dwelt. So it still felt very limited compared to the garden, this moment when God would dwell with his people so freely and so fully as well. Even Solomon knew it, though. Solomon knew it was limited. Right before this in their conversation, Solomon said this, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built, even though it was the glory of the land and awesome. He knew it was still limited in so many ways. So what does this mean then for God and mankind? What does it mean? Well, enter Christmas. Enter Joseph and Mary as they journey to Bethlehem. And this baby was born and wrapped in swaddling clothes and placed in a manger. This is how John describes him. And the Word became flesh. The Word, meaning the second Son, or the Son, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. A new plan was in motion. God wasn't just pleased to dwell in a temple. No, he wanted to come and be amongst his people. Be amongst his people. This exceeds the expectations in some ways of the Israelites. I mean, they expected a Messiah to come, but they didn't really quite grasp that it would be God with them. At Christmas, we use the word Emmanuel. God with us. He didn't come to be a paper book, but he actually came. He didn't stay up in heaven, you know, and sit on his throne and wind up the clock and let us kind of keep going. No, he says, I want to be with you. It's the whole point of the scriptures. He took on the form of mankind and came here. Maybe not as expected, but he came. He was made flesh to dwell and make his home with his people. Though he wasn't really accepted, right? We know this. He died on a cross. This is what John says about that, though. I want to read some context to this verse in John 1:14. I'm going to read 9 through 14 for us here. It says, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him. Like Jesus made the world. Isn't that awesome? Yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And I want you to remember that. They did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, that's what it means to receive him, he gave the right to become children of God. To all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of man, will of the flesh, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among him. He was rejected because, you see, what this tells me is that Jesus needs to be received. The Son needs receiving to be believed in. That, then, is our hope. Then we can have hope. Hope in a new life to be, what it says here, his children. He needs receiving. Some of us, for the first time today, need to come to God and say, I believe in you. And receive him into your life. And let him dwell with you as he intended. To receive him is to believe in him. For many of us, maybe you've been a Christian, but maybe your heart's been a little closed to his presence lately. And this is the call, is to let him dwell with you today. That you need to receive him. Say, God, I welcome you into my life. Yet would you dwell with me? Or show me, maybe, how you are dwelling with me when my eyes are darkened to that. The Son needs receiving to be believed in, and that then brings us great hope. Great hope. It's hope for today and it's hope for tomorrow. And I want to get into those two. How does he bring us hope? Well, today is this. Before we come to Christ, before, for example, with Edward today, before he came to Christ, we are wandering souls in this world. That's how Scripture describes us. Some places it says lost. We're wanderers in this world looking for our home. Where do I belong? Yeah, sure, we find our belonging in different areas of our culture and our day today. But where is our true home? We wander looking for this true home on this earth. And then in this passage, did you hear what it says? We can become children of God. A child. No other species on this earth, like no other creatures, can be the children of God. Only us, mankind, were selected by God to say, you can become children of God. If you believe in me and you receive me, you are a child of God. What an honor. What grace and what mercy that maybe we don't deserve. But what joy and what hope that we can be children of God. We go from wandering to a child of God. We go from isolated, we know what that's like, right? From isolated to welcomed, with arms open wide. We go from hungry to fed, from sick to made well, from sorrowful to joyful, from war-torn to peaceful, from anxious to settled, and from hate to love, from darkness to life, from hopeless to full of expectation for what God does in our life and in our lives. This is why I love baptism. What a great symbol of this. God's grace coming down in this moment where Edward is dipped into the waters, saying, I wash away my old life and I'm coming up into new life in Christ. Hope. I once was not a child of God, but now I am a child of God. Hope. What a declaration. Maybe you want to take your, maybe you want to jump into these waters as well. Let us know. And we can set this tank up whenever. Let us know. What a symbol of hope. That God is doing something in our lives and regenerating us and transforming us into new people. There is hope for today, but there's also hope for tomorrow. And this is what I love about Advent. And when I discovered this, because growing up, right, Christmas is about like the baby Jesus and Santa and this moment here and now. But when I discovered that it's actually hope for the future as well, that Jesus is actually coming back for us, and that's what Advent's about, it just blew my mind. I was like, this is unbelievable that Christmas is not just about today, but it's about his return. Advent is looking to his return that we can, though we see in some part today, though his presence comes in some part today and lives in us, we look forward to a new home where we're fully with him in all his glory. That he transforms us that we can be with him forever and ever. Where pain is gone, sickness is gone, and we get to simply be in his presence. We have a home that is not of this place. That's why scripture often refers to us as foreigners or aliens or, right, we live here, but our home isn't here. I love that. That is the importance of God being made flesh and making his home, tabernacling or dwelling among us. Let me give you one more scripture today. Kind of speaks into this. Kind of flips the strangers analogy on me. But so then you are no longer strangers and aliens. This is in Ephesians chapter 2. You are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone that we sang today, in whom the whole structure being joined together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. God made his dwelling among us. And the way he does that here today is through us, our beings. That he dwells in us as his holy temple. This has consequences. Good consequences. Hopeful ones. It means then that we are now the hopeful dwelling place sent to dwell to others. This is the next step in this. That we are now that dwelling place sent to dwell. We are sent to dwell. Because of his dwelling in us, and because he's returning again, we actually hold on to that hope. We become holders, or in Scripture it says jars or instruments of his presence, of that indwelling hope of God for the world. A world of darkness that needs hope, doesn't it? Like, did you read the news this week? It doesn't matter what week you read it. It doesn't matter what morning. Like, have you looked at the state of Edmonton? Right? Like, the world needs the light of the world. And church, we get to hold it within us, wherever we go. It's nothing you have done. Like, you don't have to be shy of it, because God says, I just gift this to you. When you receive me and believe in me, we become holders of hope for the world. Which brings me to this question today. What does it look like this Advent and Christmas season to be carriers of hope and light? What does it mean for us? What does it mean for us, church, to be holders of the hope of God in this world? This Christmas, what neighbor could you reach out to? What coworker? What family member needs hope? We are agents of hope. My neighbor just moved back. He'd been gone for a little while. We kept in contact as he went and worked, and he moved back recently. And even just this week, he invited me over to his house, okay? Twice. We'd built a relationship over COVID, and I've had a chance to speak into his life and to be a part of his life. It's Christ in me that desires to go and bring this man hope in such a dark world. Who might God be sending us to this Christmas? I want to go back to that question from Moses before we pray today. And I'm going to have a little bit of an extended time of prayer. I will have response questions, but I'm going to give you a little different thrust with those today. Moses said this statement question to God when he asked for his presence. He said, what else will distinguish me from anybody else? What else will distinguish us if you don't come? And God said, you're right. And so he came, right? I think that's a great question for us to ask, even ourselves today. What else distinguishes us if not for the presence of God in our lives? Nothing. We're just going through motions of religion, trying to reach some utopia. No, we have the very presence of God that comes and lives in us when we receive him by believing. Let's be distinguished. We were in a session yesterday for leadership training, and the speaker said, let's be precarious. I think that was the word he used. Hey, Tim? Precarious. We're doing Christmas Day here. We're beginning our Advent season. We're going to journey every Sunday through these candles. And on Christmas Day, we're doing a Christmas with Friends sneak peek, okay? Next week, it's going to be rolled out, and we have some exciting things planned. But it's an opportunity, actually. It's an opportunity for you to invite people into this space of hope. So keep your eyes open for that in the weeks to come. But I wonder for us today, I want to pray in these three ways. These three ways: confession, asking, and showing. Confession, asking, and showing. Some of us need to confess today. Probably including me, to confess, we don't always carry ourselves like we have hope, do we? In our workplace, sometimes we just don't even want to be there, right? As we go and do our leisure, we're not agents of hope. And we need to confess that to the Lord and say, God, like, I really haven't been doing a good job of this. And that's good. Some of us need to ask, probably all of us, God, that you would fill us again to be carriers of that hope. God, would you fill me yet again to overflowing? that hope would just spill out of me wherever I go. To confess, to ask, or to show. God, would you show me who I need to reach out to this Advent season? Who do I need to extend an arm of hope for? Can we do that today? I'm going to give us some space. Give us some silence as we jump into this question for a few minutes. So would you join me in this prayer? Well, God, this space is holy ground. When we gather, we become the dwelling place of God in this place we call a sanctuary. You see, it's not a physical place, but it's in our gathering. So God, I thank you that you are here right now, healing hearts, bringing hope where there is hopelessness. Maybe that's us today. And we need that, Lord Jesus, because we have not been filled with hope, and we start by confessing that today. So let me give you a moment, church, to confess to him if you need to today. Lord, corporately, we just confess that we don't always do this very well. Even as ECAC, we don't carry ourselves as people of hope. But God, you are hope and you dwell within us. So today we, Lord, confess this. And I pray that you would heal people today in this space and in this moment who need hope in their lives. Would they receive it even today? So God, in these next moments, we ask that you'd fill us again with your presence. Fill us again with your hope. Or maybe some of us for the first time, would you fill us with your hope? To church again, friends, I'm going to leave a space here that you yourself ask God, fill you with hope today. Yes, God, nothing else distinguishes us from anyone else. We need your presence. Fill us, Lord, today. And God, lastly, would you show us? Show us then a face. Give us a name. Who do we need to reach out to today, this upcoming season of Advent? To whom do I need to go and be an agent of hope? Church, I'll give you a moment to pray and ask God that yourself. Someone comes to mind, just jot it down. notebook on your phone, set a reminder. God, would you show us? Who do I need to reach out to? Who, Lord, do we as a church need to reach out to? Would you show us? Would you show us? And church, if you hear something today that you think is for us corporately, share that with us. Come talk to me or Pastor Tim. Or God, who do you want us to be agents of hope for? Yes, Lord, we listen to you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As the worship team comes, maybe this week you will have to spend a little more time listening, and that's okay. And that's good, actually. I do have some response questions. If you want to take a screenshot of these or whatever for today, here's my encouragement for you today. Some of you will need to rush out right away, and that's great. Some of us, you know, we linger and we hang out. And we were having a conversation a bit this morning about how, as people in our culture, right, in a formal ministry, we tend, that's when we share our spiritual hearts, right? And we would do that. If we did our breakout spaces today, but we were a little out of time because of baptism, that's great, that's wonderful. But I encourage you, as you linger in this space, or as you go and grab a coffee and sit in the foyer, maybe one of these questions will come to your mind. Maybe you'll want to have some spiritual conversation that happens a little more informally. And I would encourage that. Maybe someone came to your mind and you could just share that with somebody today. I would encourage that wholeheartedly, right? Or maybe God has given you hope today in a way you haven't felt in a while. Share that with somebody today. Like, testify about what God is doing in your life. Don't keep it in. We are a community. So as you grab your coffee from the cafe or whatever, as you have lunch today, share these things. Share these things. So if you need to get out your phone, take a screenshot, you can do that. That's okay. That's acceptable. Let's do this today. Let's have spiritual conversation as the body of Christ to be agents of hope. Amen.
Let us all stand in response in song. What hope we hold, that starlit night, a king is born in Bethlehem. A journey long, we seek the light that leads to the hallowed and manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed and manger ground. Emmanuel, hallowed and manger ground.
Praise his name, Emmanuel. I look forward to this Advent season with all of you, and as we join together throughout this idea that he's come to dwell, so we are sent to dwell. So I look forward to seeing you again next week, the beginning of December, crazy, with this Romans 15 verse. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Amen. Amen. See you again next week.